Here we go. FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile. Glad to have you along for another hour of live local talk. And you're sure lucky to be here when one of my favorite guests and just my favorite Mobilians, and a man who's a writer, historian extraordinaire of where we live, and one of the featured writers that's on my Locals Only Christmas list again this year. You can check out links to his books to purchase them there on our Facebook page and on our website. Ladies and gentlemen, my buddy John Sledge. Hey, John.
Hey, Sean. Thank you so much.
Hey, thank you. And this is I know we got a lot to talk about. I want to set the framework here that this morning I saw the story break that the Battle House Hotel had been named America's, by this group, America's number one historic hotel. And that was, it's pretty neat to see some national acclaim for something that has been part of my life, you know, the Battle House, yeah. Although it sure has changed here in the last couple of decades. So let's talk about the Battle House, that award, mm-hmm. and kind of the history of this, John.
Absolutely. Love to.
Okay, so Battle House, where they're on Royal Street. When was that officially a structure called the Battle House, and did it look like it does today?
No, it was officially a battle house beginning in about 1852. It's actually the fourth, the one we have now is the fourth hotel on that site.
Have they all been called the Battle House?
No, the first hotel was called the Franklin because of Franklin Street. It burned in 1829. We don't really know what it looked like, probably basically a frame building. And then the Waverly Hotel replaced it. And it burned about 1850. And then the first Battle House, which was formed by three brothers, James, John, and Samuel Battles, and they formed a company and built the first Battle House in about 1853 when it was completed. And it was a four, later five-story masonry building, and it had a nice two-story cast iron gallery that ran down Royal Street and then down St. Francis Street.
So this Battle House, first of all, so people, you know that was a surname, not anything about warring.
Right.
Okay.
Exactly.
Same battles as Battles Wharf or different battles?
You know, I'm not sure about, shame to say I'm not sure about that. It may well have been the same family because they had their fingers in a lot of pots.
Okay.
At that time.
And So they start the Battle House, these three brothers, and at that point, do you have any records of how many beds or how many people it could sleep?
You know, I don't know. It was certainly a large hotel for the South at that time. Mobile's population then might have been about 30,000, which was respectable. New Orleans, compare it, you know, 200,000, and New York at 1 million, Charleston probably at 20. So it was a good-sized southern city and a respectable hotel, and a lot of famous people stayed there. And when a lot of people talk about the historic Battle House, and certainly when they look at the cartouche on the corner of the existing building when it says Battle House 1852, mm-hmm. they're actually going back to that tradition. And, you know, there are all kind of stories about, you know, Stephen Douglas, the presidential candidate, was in Mobile during the election of 1860 that was so consequential. He stayed in the Battle House and waited for the election returns to come in with a guy named John Forsyth, who was the editor of the Press Register and quite politically active, had a national reputation at the time. And they were in the Battle House when the returns came in and showed that Abraham Lincoln had won the presidency. Forsyth and Douglas were incredibly depressed, of course, because this would ultimately lead to the South's secession. And then when Mobile and Alabama seceded from the Union, there were great public demonstrations in the streets of the Battle House, torch-lit parades, drums, cadets, all that sort of thing. Jefferson Davis, president of the Confederacy, stayed in the hotel during the war. Lots of Confederate luminaries. And so it was quite an important building in the city's history.
Now, you talk about Jefferson Davis in the war, but I guess in that same, not structure, but that same what area or physical location that then General Andrew Jackson, right, in the War of 1812, didn't he have a command post there or spent the night or
he
something?
He did, yeah. It's one of my favorite sites in Mobile, besides what's there now. I mean, if you actually go and stand at the corner of St. Francis and Royal Street and look toward the river, you can really see the downward slope, because that was the old colonial-era bluff, low bluff that ran along Royal Street, and that was kind of the edge of the habitable town. That was would have been all marsh and muck down to the riverbank from there, and then in subsequent decades, that was all infilled with cotton bales and barrels and junk, and the city pushed in toward the river. And in fact, when the archaeologists were doing a dig before they built the RSA Tower, right next to where the Battle House is, I remember going down there, and they just found tons of old wooden roof shingles and wash patterns where you could tell there had obviously been hurricane damage before on previous buildings on the site. So, yes, Andrew Jackson, when he came to Mobile, thinking the British were going to come here instead of New Orleans in 1814, he actually had a little headquarters. It was a little log building on that site. So very, very primitive then.
It's wild to just, you know, stand there and think about the people, even though the structures were different, that were standing there in the past. And also, I mean, you described that area down to the river. I know if people have had a chance to read your book, The Mobile River, you describe kind of getting to the riverfront is not what it's like now. I mean, it was right to piers and gangwalks to get from where that little dry ground was to the edge of the river.
Yeah, they would actually build the wharfs across that muck and mire. And, of course, people used it as a garbage pit. They'd throw anything and everything down there.
Yeah.
So the town stank in the summer.
So when we come back from the break, I want to talk more about the history of the Battle House and, you know, how it compares to other historic cities and what their, you know, hotels, how old are the hotels. Also had some questions this morning about the architecture of the Battle House, too, and it's that something that we see in other southern cities. We continue our conversation about this with my friend John Sledge. By the way, you can pick up his books a lot of places. I've got links to his books by going to our Facebook page or the website. Check out my Locals Only 2020 Christmas list. You'll see the John Sledge section, and you can click on the books right there. Plus, I'll talk about more about those with him when we return.
You're listening to Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5. Call Sean now at 343-0106.
Right, rolling on here, Midday Mobile, and always great to get to talk to John Sledge, historian, writer, and friend, and talk about the history of the Battle House, among other things, but specifically talking about the Battle House Hotel, because it was awarded the nomination, actually the one, for America's Favorite Historic Hotel. And it's, you know what I say, John? About time. It's about time they got around.
It's very nice. It's a nice lift for Mobile in what's been a very hard year.
That's for sure. The inside, and we can get, you know, we can talk about how pretty and nice the inside of the Battle House is through after the big remodel. But the outside, I want to get to that first. The outside of the Battle House, it bears similarities. I didn't think about it until we were talking this morning, and Dan and I were doing the morning show, and he said, you know, there's something about the Battle House reminds me of hotels elsewhere in the South. Was it a theme? Were they copying each other? Was it an homage? Do you know anything about that?
Well, they weren't literally copying each other, but they were building. Many of our historic hotels were built around that time at the turn of the century. The current Battle House was built after the first one burned in 1905. So the current one dates actually from about 1908. There was a New York architect. So this guy, his name was Frank Andrews, was a New Yorker, but he was also working all over the country. He did courthouses in, he did the Montana, the courthouse, state house rather, in Montana, and several other, one in Kentucky, and prominent commercial buildings around the land. So they do bear a lot of similar characteristics, what we'd call a Renaissance revival style. And that was a real popular type around the turn of the century. So you do see a lot of the same characteristics. They're all using essentially the same vocabulary, even if the buildings aren't exact copies.
You talk about standing the test of time, that look, though. You think about how many different architectural styles came after that, that we now go, oh, my gosh, no, that's bad. But the classic of that design still resonates.
What's interesting, too, about the Battle House is because of all the history of fires in hotels and Mobile, they actually used cast concrete and steel construction when they built the current one. And it was one of the earlier buildings in the country to use that technology. And the idea was this thing's going to be fireproof. And it certainly proved to be the case. Ironically, that made its restoration a bit challenging because modern hoteliers who were looking at it in the 70s and 80s and 90s were saying, you know, people want big hotel rooms now. And these are small. And since they're cast concrete, you can't really open them up.
That's why it took so long, because of the nature of it being
part of the reason. And I also like the way that the RSA did it, because they've combined both that old with the newer portion. And you see that with a lot of historic hotels around the world. It's an older building, but then there'll be a newer portion, and they manage to provide those amenities for people that really want them.
Kind of the history of our city here and the hotel side of it. It seems like a strange part, but I think it maybe is integral to all conversations when you read about this person came to stay here, this political person, this historical figure. When the rebuilt Battle House, when that started, was it by itself? Were there a series of hotels downtown? Was it the hotel? How did it look in our history? When did we start having multiple?
Yeah, no, we certainly, and we had multiple even before the Civil War, but they were smaller. In the case of the Battle House, we had several at that time. The Bienville Hotel, the Coffin Hotel, were both right on the square. The Coffin on the west side and the Bienville on the north, they were both about 1906, 1908. So they were contemporary with it. Prominent downtown urban hotels, really nice buildings as well, but unfortunately they didn't survive. So the Battle House is all we have to represent that period of, grand downtown hotels.
And that's because of the construction, or just somebody decided not to demolish it and put something else there?
Yeah, simple fate, really. I mean, the construction was certainly in its favor. I mean, it was practically indestructible unless it was torn down. And the others were, suffered because people wanted to put new things there. And there was a vigorous debate at various times post-1970 about whether the Battle House should be demolished. People said it was an eyesore, that it was hurting the city commercially, that it either needed to be restored or demolished, and we could have very easily lost it.
That's one takeaway, not even specifically you're talking about the Battle House, but other things that what seems like an eyesore in one decade, you look at another decade later or two decades later, and people all of a sudden go, holy cow, what an amazing thing. It's a weird thing. There's like this gap, it seems like, in history, that if it's not older than this, it seems like an eyesore. As soon as it's past that period of time, it's something to be preserved.
Very true, and a lot of credit certainly would go to Celia Wallace, Dr. Gerald Wallace, back in the 70s. They bought the hotel. And of course, he passed away, but she remained a pretty good steward of the hotel for a number of years when it sat vacant and looked at various restoration opportunities. You know, one of the coolest stories about the Battle House to me, and that very few people realize, there was actually a man that lived there alone through the 80s and the 1990s.
What?
And it was Celia Wallace's brother, and they had redeveloped a room in the hotel to cost it out and see what would it cost us to restore this thing, and let's do a room and, plumbing, wiring, all of that. Habitable room, and that's where he lived. And you could come down Water Street, late at night, and there'd be a light on the third or fourth floor up there on the Water Street side, and I'd say there he is, he's in his room. And how eerie that must have been to be the sole denizen, all those ghosts.
So
that's kind of a little bit of lore.
So he lived there for an extended period of time, and just like, I guess, when he would leave for work each day, go out the front door of the Battle House?
Not the front door. I think they had a padlocked door on the St. Francis Street side, as I remember. But yeah, I mean, really, really unusual circumstance, and one of those quirky Mobile tales that I really like.
When will you talk about this important and a good uplift for Mobile? You watch, you know, the history of our city. You promote the history of our city. Do you think, is there a, and maybe you don't even know this, is there a culture of people going to see, like, historic hotels? Because I know that we were heading into Rocky Mountains National Park. I was all about going up in the mountains, and the family saw, the women, the wife and the daughter saw that we were going by the Stanley Hotel, and holy cow, you think somebody would have put one of those parachutes out behind an NHRA vehicle and stopped. We had to go into the Stanley. So are there other people that do that?
Yeah, their historic hotels really do a good job of promoting themselves. There's a lot of pride, as there should be. And a lot of people just like not just the idea of a historic hotel, but the level of luxury and elegance and tradition that you get there. It's not a chain. It's got a story. You know, the wonderful things about the Battle House aren't just that magnificent lobby, but the Whispering Arch and all kinds of little things that you can explore while you're there that just make that experience so much more enriching.
You mentioned something. You even started – we might have to – continue on to another segment, because you mentioned there with all those ghosts in the Battle House, and now I'm getting inundated with questions about ghost stories from the Battle House. Are there specific stories, or are you just saying
I'm speaking sort of metaphorically. I guess that could be a show. My brushes with ghosts in a historic preservation career, but I very much believe in the presence of the past. And certainly in architecture, it's most manifest. And we know Woodrow Wilson, for instance, stayed in the Bat House. It was Mobile's front parlor. People remember it up to the 70s, you know, it's proms, it's balls, it's, you know, all of that. So it wasn't just something that guests coming in from out of town experienced and locals didn't know anything about. Locals very much adopted it as their collective parlor. And that's one thing that makes the Battle House unique, as opposed to, say, some other hotels in Mobile. So literal ghosts, I don't know, but the potential would certainly be there because many, many people have stayed. I think there's been a murder there, at least one murder, back in the 20s, which is an interesting story. So the potential would be there.
There it is. John, before we wrap up here, too, first of all, Merry Christmas to you and the family.
Same to you, Sean.
Remind folks, too, I mean, they can go check out the links on my Locals Only Christmas list, but your latest book, Gulf of Mexico, A Maritime History.
Yes, available at Page and Palette and Fairhope, also Haunted Bookshop, downtown Mobile, good spot.
Right.
And I so appreciate those stores and their support.
Yeah, and if they pick up that one, they'll end up buying the whole back library. That's for sure. And are you working on anything right now? Any secret you can tell us?
No. Yeah. Well, I'm working on a book about Mobile and Havana and their long experience. I mean, they share a lot of the same personalities, share a lot of history. Havana, of course, is 200 years older, but there are many, many links and ties. Cuban baseball really came out of Mobile. That's a neat story. Mm-hmm. So it's been a lot of fun to explore all that.
And I don't want to spoil that chapter of the book, but I mean, wasn't it the Jesuits at Spring Hill?
There were some students at Spring Hill, young Cubans who were here during the American Civil War. They couldn't serve, and they were kind of beached, and they learned this new game, and then took it back to Havana with them in the 1860s, founded the Havana Baseball Club, and damn fine baseball players have come out of that country.
Understatement for sure. John Sledge, as always, I appreciate it. We'll talk again in the new year.
Thank you, Sean. As ever, Merry Christmas. Stay safe.
There he is, the one and only John Sledge.